Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Playlist and Plotlines podcast. If you're new here, I'm Allie.
And I'm Ari.
And it is a very interesting week.
Yeah, we're now into the hiatus, which is fucking crazy, bro, because it's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Bring back the 8-10.
Right, like it's not even Thanksgiving yet, mind you. Like, I appreciate they're doing it for the sake of the rookie, because that means we're getting 12 episodes of the rookie. So, like, okay, right? Period.
Wait, is that what that means?
Yeah, I think. Because they're on the same schedule. I would think that they get the same amount of episodes.
Anymore, because they're starting so much later.
No, they're starting the same week.
No, I mean, like,
9-1-1. No, but they might get 12 episodes, right? Because it's 6-12, right? Like how they're doing it this season. So I wonder if they'll get like the 12 episodes that all their other shows are getting.
Or they might go longer because they started later.
True. It might be like a 13 episode season or something.
Or 14 or 18. That's yeah. What I'm.
We're not getting 18, Allie. That's pushing into the summer, bruh.
And why can't we have summer shows, ABC?
No, okay. Literally, I agree with you so much. I think about this all the fucking time. Because I get so bored of the summer when there's not shit going on. In terms of, like, TV. Like,
we don't care about the reality shows that go on during the summer. We want...
Also, mind you, the good ones are... also put out during the year, like the good reality shows,
like The Bachelor and stuff like that. Those are put
like
out
a lot of the good housewives are put out during the year. They're not the ones that are the summer housewives. Like,
anyways, okay, first off, semifinals for Dancing with the Stars are this week. I just wanted to say that. And finale is next week, which is very sad.
Who's still there? I don't even know.
Who's still there?
Yeah.
Robert is still there. Thank you.
Period. I think I knew that.
Robert's still there. Alex Earl is still in.
Okay.
Jordan, what's her last name? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Childs! Oh my gosh.
Jordan, yes, Childs, okay.
There's six left. Jordan's still in. Alex, Robert. Elaine Hendricks, who played Meredith Blake in The Parent Trap, she's still in.
Yeah, I know who that is, yeah.
Dylan Efron is still in.
Oh my god.
There's one more.
Dylan Efron still being in.
There's one more. Oh my gosh!
Oh my god.
Who is it?
Wait. Okay.
No, that's actually going to drive me crazy. I have to look it up.
Okay, you can go look, but I am going to have to go grab a tissue. I apologize. But I will only be up once.
Oh, Whitney!
Oh, I was thinking that she was there.
Whitney. Guys, I blocked out that Whitney still in because I'm tired of her being in.
I mean, Whitney's kind of...
That's besides the point. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. I have more news. Can I talk about the 911 socials account?
I might sneeze because apparently I'm having a sneezing fit, but you can keep talking.
If we need a pause, we can.
What?
If we need a pause, we can. Guys, fun fact about Ari. Anytime Ari eats, Ari sneezes like crazy.
Not every time I eat, bruh.
A lot of the times.
Yeah, it is a lot of the time. I'm not like a, like, we think it might be an allergy, but also like, there's really no pattern. So like, who the fuck knows? Anyways.
Okay, I wanted to talk about the 911 social media team has been putting in overtime recently. Anyways, a couple weeks ago, was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. So I watched it right after the podcast. The Wheel of Fortune team came and they were playing they were just doing like the word part of Wheel of Fortune, not.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
And Ryan called Oliver and Kanto at the end of that video. Who knows
that
why?
That fucking sent me, bro.
And then today they posted one, and it was like the category was song title, and the song was the song title was We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Oh my god.
Oliver got it first, and the caption was the aforementioned in Kanto, and then like in parentheses, if you know, you know. Like, that's amazing. So okay, and then they posted a like little teaser, but like all the cast talking about when the show is gonna be coming back. Like,
while he's sleeping, I just wanted to tell
you. J-Love and Chinny were in their bed in the Madney house. And then Hen was by Aisha was by herself. But then the interesting thing is that Ryan and Oliver were paired together, which, like, obviously.
Oh!
And then guess who else was paired together?
Who?
May and Robbie. And we all know the May and Robbie shippers are going crazy.
Wait, why can I actually see that?
No, I ship May and Robbie so hard, bro.
That's so cute, bro. I can actually see that.
I want May and Robbie together so bad. Now, we all know that it's not canon, but in like every fic in the universe, anybody fic, Robbie is Pan, which I can see. And so, honestly, I wouldn't be mad if Robbie ended up with, like, a man or, like, another queer character. But I also, I write it Dom for May and Robbie. I want them to be together.
I love when a fic, like, when a genre of people that, like, most people that write fics about a certain pairing will keep, like, headcanons or, like, ships about other, like, between
even
other
like,
characters the exact same.
Like, one of my favorite fics is a chat fic of, like, the whole 911.
Yeah.
Like, the whole 118. And, like, Robbie talks about going to the club and just making out of everyone. Like, he's just, like...
Period.
Yeah, like, so like
in the Yellow Jackets fandom, if you're reading a Jackie and Shauna fic, Lottie and Nat are probably also going to be together, and Ty and Van are also probably going to be together. Most of the time, it's just Ty and Van because
there's so many. Oh, and Oliver was wearing a apron, so everyone's like buck cooking.
Oh my god.
But, what was I gonna say? There's so many little, we have plans for, like, the next couple of episodes. We have a Thanksgiving episode planned.
Wait, what are we thinking it's gonna be?
Well, you have I sent you a picture of
I know, but I just forgot. I promised I looked at it, I just forgot.
And you're like, that's good, that's fine. So I took that as
no, well. I saw it, I liked it. I just don't remember exactly what you said.
Okay, I'll give you guys a sneak peek.
I feel like I pay attention.
What to expect from the podcast over hiatus.
Oh, yeah, over hiatus.
Okay, so next week when we film will be right after Thanksgiving. So,
Thanksgiving is this week.
Well, it'll be right before Thanksgiving. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I was going to be like, wait, did I get my... Because I literally was just thinking about that earlier. I was like, oh, when's Thanksgiving?
I forgot about that. You're right. It'll be right before Thanksgiving.
No, I promise I wasn't trying to be, like, passive-aggressive or anything.
No, you're just right. Because it'll probably actually... I
thought maybe I was wrong, and my thinking earlier was wrong.
Be most likely uploaded right before Thanksgiving, too.
That is true. Probably will be, like, uploaded, like, literally right before Thanksgiving. Like, probably Wednesday or Tuesday or something.
So next week's Thanksgiving episode, we're going to talk about what a Thanksgiving dinner would be like with all the characters.
Wait, yeah, I forgot we said that. That's going to be so good.
We could do, like, what a rookie Thanksgiving dinner would be like.
Yes. And then, like,
118 family Thanksgiving.
You should do a bye show.
And then... we have some others. We're going to do another Headcanons episode because we did get a lot of viewership on our last Headcanons episode, and we love
it. We like them. We think it's fun. So,
I think we should also talk about fic Headcanons because there's some that are in, like, every fic that is just so funny.
Yeah, I was literally just talking about how they're always the same.
Like how... Buck always takes Christopher to the zoo. Like, just stuff like that. And then we're going to talk... We've been wanting to do this episode. Like, episodes like... This is, like, one of the reasons why we started the pod. And we somehow have never done an episode like this. We were going to do a evolution of each ship. So we were going to go, like, in depth. Like,
we were gonna do that, like, way back, and we just haven't done that yet. We said we were gonna do it over the summer, but then we just kind of did other things over the summer.
And then scene reviews and our favorite moments was another idea I had.
I love genius.
And then we're gonna do another X review where we look up crazy tweets because that was so fun.
That was so funny. I can even go on Tumblr to find some stuff now too. Now that I'm back. On my shit.
And then for Christmas, we're going to be doing a wish list episode because that will be right before the...
Shortly before the hiatus ends.
And then New Year's Eve episode, it will be a in-person episode because Ari and I will be together. So...
Yeah. I'm so excited, bro.
And even if it's not on a Saturday, I have a feeling we're going to film it to where.
Oh, yeah. Duh. I will happily film an episode. I don't guess.
So, that's exciting. And my thing said New Year's Eve, in person, whatever we want. So, like, 3 of the weeks of hiatus will be taken out by holiday episodes. So, we really realistically don't have that much to fill.
That's crazy, but still, I'm not excited for the shows to be over. It makes me sad.
I just hate hiatus. Like,
no, I do too.
But
it's gonna be a drag this year, bro.
Now that we're done with news, do you have any news? Any music news? No. I don't think I have any.
I don't have any music news, bro. I feel like
the Grammy nominations came out.
Yeah, nothing crazy, honestly. I'm not, like, mad at them like some people. I don't really care. They're good.
Because you guys have to think, like, the Grammys aren't based off of fans. It's based off of the Recording Academy. So, like, there's not
And also, the Recording Academy is infamously kind of dumb. Like, Sabrina, we all know that she was nominated as Best New Artist when she had already released, like, 4 albums, 5 albums. Because it was, like, short and sweet. But then when Zayn put out his first album his first Grammy album, his first like solo album, despite not having any solo albums before that, they did not let him be nominated. They got like pissy at him. So that's kind of the logic they do.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah. You want to get into the shows?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay. What show do we want to start with?
I feel like I've kind of been lucky with us starting with 911.
Just kind of going in order of the night. So if you guys don't watch the shows, it starts out Thursday nights, start out with 911, and then we go into 911 Nashville, and then we go into Grey's Anatomy. It's a stat.
I feel like we almost kind of want to close on Grey's because that was one of the ones that
it's a stacked night. Thursday nights are stacked.
They are.
I'm pulling up Cherry's account so I can see what happened in order again. Okay, first thing I would like to mention is our buddy is finally starting to feel like they're getting back in the groove of things. And I talked about this last week. We're kind of dooming. We had a huge discussion about this on the pod last week, but how people were kind of dooming on Buddy after Eddie kind of freaked on Buck. And we talked about like how that wasn't necessarily about Buck. Like, not everything's about Buck. Sorry, people probably don't understand that not everything is about Evan Buckley, which, you know, I forget that sometimes too, but in that situation, it really was not about. I forget
that sometimes too. Me.
No, I do. TBH. I really do. Okay. So, where did we start out the episode? Oh, so the episode started out at the Mammy House, and you always know that's going to be good.
Ooh. Yeah, of course.
The Mammy House is a great way to start out the episode.
Yeah, it is.
So it starts out with Chim at the dining table, and he's looking at folders, and we're like, he's looking at faces, and it looks like contracts or something. Not contracts, but like resumes or something like that. And so, in my mind, I didn't even put together that Chimney was looking at potential captains. Because the chief wanted to get his input.
Yeah.
I'm since so writing at dawn for Chimney to be captain that I didn't even, like...
You forgot that there's other people running.
Yeah, I didn't even put two and two together. So, Maddie walks in, and she had just gotten back from book club, apparently. And
of course,
he had to drive people home, and so Chimney was making fun of them because two of the people got in a fight, and then Chimney was making fun of them. That was funny.
In the car,
no, at book club, and then they got drunk, so Maddie had to drive
at book club.
Yeah,
getting in a fight at book club is crazy weird, bro.
It was about the book, too, and Maddie was like, Chimney was like, do you guys even talk about books at this book club? And Maddie was like, yeah, the fight between those two was about the book.
That's so funny. That's
it kind of reminded me of that episode of Abbott Elementary when the staff book club goes insane. And then they're like fighting all night.
Bro.
But anyways, so she's like, what do you think of the new? She can kind of tell like Chimney's kind of like down in the dumps.
Yeah.
So, like, she sits down and she's like about to sit down and she's like, so what do you think of the new, like, what do you think of them? Because she saw what he was doing. He's like, I don't know if it's just that they're all good, but like, I don't know. I don't think anyone can compare to Bobby. Or something like that. And then she said, or like, I don't know if any of them are good enough. And she was like, oh, have you made a decision? That's what she said. And he goes, no, I don't think any of them are good enough. And so then she takes a picture of Chimney and Bobby's office where he's holding this, because this is an old picture. I remember the scene this is from, but it was from when Chimney was trying to hide Maddie's ring. When he was trying to propose to Maddie. But anyways, it's a picture of Chimney holding Gian in the office. And she puts it down on the table and she's like, good, because this guy's still in the ringer too. Or like in the selection too. And so they have like a conversation about it and he's like, I don't know. Like, do you think the team would actually want that? Like, and he's like, anyone could be as good as Bobby. And she goes, no. Or she's like, I don't know how to live up to who Bobby was. She goes, no one can ever live up to Bobby, but you can be you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I feel like if you're comparing yourself to a dead person constantly, that's kind of like, okay, yeah. Because everybody's their own individual person. So she ate.
They kind of had a conversation, and she was like, I think you should, you know, really consider it.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay. So then it kind of is like, inferred that he is going to call the chief back and be like, I actually do want the position. They go to a call. I don't remember what the first call was. Oh, wait, no. Guys, I gotta look in order of things. Okay, so then... thinking of a why. Okay. Okay, so, guys, you guys know I always mess up the order. You know what? I need to start pulling up the episode, like, on my phone so I can kind of, like, zoom through.
Wait, that's a good idea.
I'll
pull up the Grays one. Wait, do we want to do Grays or do we want to do Nashville next?
I say let's just keep going in order. I feel like it would make more sense to do that. Because we're going to have a lot to talk about Grays, and so I think we need the most time to do that.
Fair, yeah.
In 911, it was kind of a boring episode, so I don't have much to talk about. I just keep forgetting what happened because I wasn't really paying attention.
Oh, me.
Because it was boring.
Fair enough.
Okay, yeah. So opened up. Oh, okay. And then their first call was to this family reunion. And they're, like, playing this game, and it sliced everyone's fingers off.
Wow. That's crazy work.
And so they're, like, trying to match up the... they're, like, trying to match up the fingers. And as they're walking up, he's like, what is this, a family reunion? Buck's, like, says something like, what is this, a family reunion? And Trinity goes, yeah. And he's like, look how... and he was just looking at, like, the amount of people there. And Buck kind of forgot they were at an emergency. And he was like, what did you say? Because it was hilarious. He was like, Chimney, I told you we need to start doing this.
I'll put this on the table next
month. And he was like, yeah, but yeah, no. Or something like that. Which was funny. So then... they get back to the station, and so, like, Chimney's, like, acting really weird, because he's worried that, like, the team's not going to be happy about his decision about, like, accepting the job.
Which, like, why?
So,
realistically, bro, why wouldn't they be?
I don't know. So they're in the, like, locker room. Hen, Buck, and Eddie are in the locker room. Uh-huh. And Eddie's saying something about how he likes protein powder mixed with root beer. It tastes like a root beer float with getting...
That seems, yeah. That seems like something he'd say.
and you're getting gains or something like that. And I was like, Eddie, shut up. Like, no one cares about your...
Right.
But then Buck goes, count me in, that sounds good, or something like that. And I was like, of course, Buck. And then he's like, Hen, and Buck says, Hen, what do you think? And then Hen's like, it's giving me a rash already just thinking about it. And like,
right.
Down and sees Hen's hands are like going crazy. Like, they're like all veiny, like more than they normally are, and like dry and stuff. And he goes, ooh, that looks like allergic, like Eddie is, like thinking like EMT brain, paramedic brain. He's like, oh, that looks like.
Yeah, poor thing. What's going on?
And she's like, did we switch gloves or anything? And he goes, no, we always used nitrile because of like latex allergies. So like, he's like, no, we haven't switched gloves. So then she's like, a big part of the episode is Hen trying to figure out what's going wrong with her. So that Chimney walks in and he's talking to the team and he's, I showed you the save it. He's like, guys, I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys. And
oh my God, that was sending me.
And they were all like, for what?
Yeah, they're so confused.
And they're like, for what? And Chimney was like, A good, what's the word when they go out to emergency?
A good shift.
A good call, like a.
I think he said, yeah, it was so funny.
A really good call, or like, good work today. And like, they had a pretty, like, it was a weird call with all the fingers, but it was like a pretty standard call for the 118. It's nothing like.
Yeah, it was a tame-ish call.
It wasn't anything like unbelievable. So.
Yeah.
So they were all just like really confused. And then, of course, Buck, as soon as Eddie and Buck have like the same faces the whole time, it's actually like they're in sync. It's actually kind of hilarious.
That's
and
so then, funny.
And then, of course, Buck, with his abandonment issues, as soon as Chimney leaves, he goes, is he retiring soon or something? I'm like, fuck. Not everyone is leaving when they act weird.
Poor King. He was so scared.
And then, okay, what happened next? So then, oh, okay, next is really fun. So next scene is Harry coming over to Buck's house, kind of freaking out because he got an invitation to take the Firefighter Academy entrance exam.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like freaking out because he's like, I need help getting prepared for this, but like my mom can't know about it yet. And he's like, wait, so there was a, Buck's all confused. He's like, there was a recruit. So he's like, why are you freaking out? There was a recruiter at your high school. Like, that's not that weird. And he's like, he just gave him the letter and Buck was like, oh, you got recruited at your high school. That's cool. He goes, well, I dropped out of high school. He's like, no, I dropped out. And Buck's like, you dropped out of high school?
Buck.
And he goes, yeah. And he goes, so wait, when did you put your application in? And he, Buck's like, and then Harry says, like, the day that you took me on the ride-along. And he goes, that's what I was afraid of. Is your mom mad at me? Like, that was the first word out of his mouth. He was like, is your mom mad at me?
Fair enough, Buck.
I was like, Buck. So then, so that was funny. Athena gets called to a case with this girl that kind of has a similar storyline, not actually ends up being nothing like Mae's situation, but kind of at the beginning it seems like it's,
yeah,
like
I remember yeah,
Mae's situation in season one, because this girl was getting bullied and then cyber bullied, and then she tried to take her own life. And so Athena's doing this case, and she's talking to Mae about it, and she realizes it was actually the mom that was doing it, because the mom was.
Like, that one case that was, like, going all around Netflix.
Yeah, that was crazy. But anyways, so then the next call for the 118 is at this like med spa where you can get like, it's like a recreational medical clinic. Like you can get like MRIs, and it's kind of like giving the vibes of like those Pronova exams for like the full body thing that like those influencers do.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's kind of giving similar vibes to that, but like not, if you know what I mean. Like it's kind of just like a recreational situation. So they get called there because apparently this lady had like a bad reaction to one of the anesthetics the guy used. And so they get called, and she ends up dying because he didn't notice or something like that. And it was a whole thing. But he didn't get, like, arrested because it was on accident. But I don't know. It was weird. And then, like, Han starts having tremors in her hand. And it's just this whole thing. And then the next part of the episode is Athena's still trying to find who this person is. And then it's a whole montage of Buck getting Harry ready for the entrance exam.
That's so cute.
And it's hilarious. He like makes Harry make a pizza for him, and it's just really funny. And then like the last question he asked, he was like, what station is the best station in the LAFD? And he says the 118, and he goes, hell yeah. And he goes, wait, don't say that in your
exam.
In your interview. So then more blah 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 boring police work.
Yeah.
Happens, blah blah blah. Blah blah. And then we find out that Harry failed the entrance exam. And it wasn't for the actual exam or like the test. It was for the interview because they found out that Harry had to say that he has a criminal record because he got arrested 2 seasons ago for self-defense. Well, it ended up being self-defense, but he got arrested. It was a whole thing. But so then we see Athena take care of that. And then we see Han has there's like a big party at the 118 for Buck ends up being able to call the chief to be like, oh wait, I'm messing stuff up, but Buck ends up calling the chief to go to dinner with Harry and him. And Harry's like, why are we going to this really fancy place? It's just us. And he's like, oh, nothing. And it was for the chief. But he just knew the chief was going to be there. And then they have like a conversation with the chief, and Harry's allowed to like start the program or something like that.
That's good.
And they see Chimney come out, and they're like, Chimney, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I just had dinner with the chief. And they're like, for what? And then Chimney tells them that like he accepted the offer. And they have like his ceremony, and the next scene is like his ceremony at the firehouse. Very sweet. Everyone's there. When there was a sweet moment between Harry and Athena because they were looking at Bobby's paper. And what cracked me up is May came over to Athena first, and then Harry kind of came over too. And May goes, do you think Bobby would like it? Because Athena was looking at, like, his plaque from being, like, the firehouse being named after him. And he was like, do you think Bobby would like this? And she goes, he would be so embarrassed, but secretly, he would have loved it.
Aww.
And I was like, Oh my god. Oh, and then Bobby the baby was wearing a suit and it was so cute. Bobby was wearing a suit and Mr. and Mrs. Lee Chimney's like adopted parents were there. Everyone was there. It was so cute.
That was so everyone sweet. Was
so happy. Oh, Hen also did pass out. She has some weird health crap going on. I don't know what's going on with her. But she almost, if they give Chimney a watch. They give Chimney a watch, like the main squad gives Chimney a watch, and then like on the outside, mm-hmm. inside of the watch it says the 118 is not just a number, it's a family or something like that. I think
that's so cute.
I think that's what it says. Cause you know, in the finale of last season, Chimney has that whole speech.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, the 118's not just...
I think we made him speechless. Wait till he sees the rest. Us.
Hold on, guys. I'm trying to get the words exact. Oh, yeah. The 118 is not just a number. It's us.
Aww.
And I was like, ugh. So then, downstairs, Hen goes back downstairs, and she's having a conversation with Maddie, and they're, like, trying to bounce off ideas for, like, this fake patient, which is actually Hen's symptoms. And then she kind of, like, stumbles downstairs, and that's why they start talking about it. And then that's kind of the end of the episode.
Cool.
And then the promo has Hen, like, collapsing at a scene.
Poor Queen.
And I'm like, if they touch Hen, if they...
Can they give her a break?
Like, they better not put Hen in harm's way again in the span of 4 episodes. Not even. I'm like, guys, seriously, give Aisha Hines a break from carrying the near-death experience burden. Okay, but that's about it. But, Keep Hen in your thoughts. Let's manifest that she's
doing yeah, I will. Day. That's...
Oh, are you ready to talk about 911 Nashville?
Yeah. Okay, so the first scene is these people are on a boat and it gets boarded by a pirate.
Huh?
That's the first scene.
Wait, what did you say? I couldn't hear the
second. I said the first scene is... These people are on a boat, and it gets boarded by pirates. I'm not even kidding.
It gets boarded by pirates? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Pirates?
It's been, like, hacked. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, the screen turned on to the... I thought
you said it got boarded by pirates, not virus.
Pirates. Pirates, virus. Okay, I meant, like... Like, it isn't actually boarded by pirates, but, like, pirate hackers, I guess you could say. Hack the ship. Hack this ship. I didn't explain that right. And it can't, like, stop, so it's about to hit.
It was, like, one of those situations where it was actually the last thing that happened in chronological.
Yeah, but
that was, like, they're going back to the beginning.
Yeah. Then, this scene was weird. It's just, like, it's that weird, like, wine cellar scene.
Oh, but this is important, though. It's, like, a big storyline for the whole episode.
Yeah, I know. I was just kind of confused when it first came on. I was like, what?
It is... Blythe's family's wine.
Yeah, like their Yeah.
Rhine Manor.
Yeah.
It's basically a reveal on how we figure out why Blythe's family is rich.
I was going to say, yeah. It's like, it's lore on why she's rich. So, these people literally are just getting, like, a tour. Like, then they go on a site. I mean, they go on a call because what happens? Is it like there's like the pressure is like building up. So it's gonna set on fire. Something gets set off like in the so then the
it's 113, causing something there's already a small fire that's went off in the cellar, I believe, and then
it was causing
the pressure in the barrels to build up, and if the barrels exploded, the alcohol was going to fuel the fire even more. So
So then the 113 gets called there. Cammy is directing Dawn. They're just like
trying to figure out what to do.
And yeah, and they also like kind of make a joke where they're like, oh, like our father-in-law, like hope he's not here. And then the distiller comes like flying out.
And basically,
keeps smelling pretty much.
Yeah, one of the rooms in the wine cellar isn't alcohol yet. It's like still in the fermentation process. They were calling it some sort of like marsh or mash or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the correct term is, but yeah.
It hasn't like fermented enough to be considered alcohol. So the whole debate was because Blue is tracking the pressure of the actual alcohol and like the
heat. Yeah, like the ones that are actually like the full barrels that are like sitting in the cellar,
He was able to track like if they're gonna burst by the heat of the room. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically, Blue is on make sure the barrels don't blow up duty.
Yeah.
And he's like yelling, him and Dawn are like talking about what to do. Because Blue, like, he passed the test, but he's still, like, proby, so he can't really do anything. Yeah. So, like, Dawn's basically having Blue be the messenger for Rhine.
And he's pretty much saying, Dawn thinks the right thing to do is to drain them so that it doesn't spread, like faster.
Yeah.
Get more violent. But then Blythe's dad
shows up.
And he's pissed.
Man,
like, he's like, you are not doing this. Like, and Dawn's like, bro, like, you literally cannot be in here. This is like a restricted fire zone.
Like, he's like, you need also, your grandson is in there. What's more important, your wine or your grandson?
Right. Like, he's like, you know. And he's still yelling at him and being like, this is irreplaceable. Like, and Ryan's trying to be like nice. Like, he's like, you're gonna hurt Grandpa by doing this. And Don's like, I don't gaff.
He said, you're gonna kill. He's like, Dad, are you sure? This might kill Grandpa.
Yeah, like, he's like, you're literally gonna kill him by doing this. And Don's like, I don't gaff. Like,
So they drain them, and everyone gets out, and everyone but Blythe's dad seems to be like hokey pokey. Like, everyone's great.
Yeah, which honestly, fair, because I feel like if you're thinking about the actual like saving of this, it's obviously the best solution.
Yeah, and Don even talked
about it. It's going to keep the most people safe. So, yeah, the only person that's going to be pissed, like, they put the fire out, all that kind of stuff, and it stops spreading. Cammy, you know, lets Don know that.
Yeah, and Don even says about that, but we'll talk about it later, the big dinner, like, the peace table. That's what Blythe calls it. But, like, Don even says that, like, yes, he can admit that he started out wanting to do it as, like, a...
Fuck you.
...way to get back at him. But then it turned into, we don't really have a choice.
This is literally the situation.
And I feel like Ryan knew that too. And if it really, Ryan could kind of sense at the beginning it was just to get back at him.
Yeah, that's why he said, are you sure you want to do this? It's going to kill Grandpa. Like, I think that's why he said that.
But then, like, guys, we all know Ryan is stubborn. If Ryan didn't think it was going to be the right call, Ryan wouldn't have okayed the team to do it. I guess technically it was like a direct order from Don, but the way their like team is set up, Don like gives the main idea and then Ryan's always been the one to kind of be like, okay, let's do it. Like,
yeah, especially because Ryan's actually the one in there too. So I think Don trusts him enough since he's the one actually in the
and he's a lieutenant, so he has power. Yeah.
To, like, actually make the final decision of being, like, this is what we are going to do in this, like, especially in this instance, like, he's just standing, like, outside, like, kind of watching and directing, like, the
fire. And I even think Don kind of said something about it, like, you think this is right? Like, is it still, or something like
yeah.
that? But anyways, so then everyone seems to be, like, A-okay. And then.
Yeah.
The next
but Blythe's dad is, of course, like, threatening to fight.
There's always drama. There's always family drama in this show. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, they're literally... So Actually, then... I know we haven't seen any of Blythe's drama yet, but, like, I'm not surprised her family is having, like... Like, she just gives the energy of someone whose family is low-key, like, always filled with drama. Like, yeah. No offense, guys, but, like.
So, then, like, the next, like, big storyline of the episode, like, after what cuts to next is the call center is getting reviewed by, like, this shitty, like, company that's trying to shut down, like, what's the word? Like,
unneeded, like,
inefficient, like,
yeah, like they're trying to make sure that, like, they have the best, like the all the call centers are the best in the area, like they're running the most efficient they can, pretty much.
And they're, like, really, like, it really starts to, like, get on your nerves. Like, they're making everyone rush. Someone almost died during the call because they wouldn't let Cammy finish. It was just, like, a whole thing. And Cammy was, like, even, like, Cammy, they were interviewing each person, and Cammy said something like, I put my husband, like, if you guys shut this down, I'm gonna, like, if you try to shut me out one more time, I'm gonna quit. I put my husband's whole estate into this call center to save lives, and if you they're trying to shut down those, like, unneeded, and that makes a lot more sense, because I was really confused on why Maddie doesn't use this video feature, because I feel like that would be very helpful at the LA call center, and I thought about that several times watching Nashville.
You're like, what?
Why doesn't Maddie have this? And then she said something like, it was from her husband's estate. And I was like, oh.
Like, she spent her own money, yeah. Like, she spent her husband's...
The call center. And so...
Play.
But anyways, so that happened. And then they're dealing with that. And then Blythe sets up what she likes to call... Oh, wait. It cuts to the back to the firehouse, and Don is getting called to the chief's office for, like, the second time in a week at this point.
Mm-hmm. He's always getting called there now.
And the chief is like, yo, the mayor is really mad. And we need money. Like,
yeah, pretty
ask
much.
Ask your father-in-law for money. He's like,
yeah, like have him donate.
Yeah, he's like, well, I just pissed them off, so I'll see what we can do.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I guess somehow he tells Blythe, we didn't see them have a good conversation about it, but Blythe sets up what she likes to call the peace table. So, Ryan's not in the home, Blue's not at the Hart House, because headcanon, Blue spends a lot of time at the Hart House now that they're all like a big happy family. Like, to get away from Dixie.
Also, Blue wants to, I feel like Blue wants to get away from Dixie, so like, fair enough.
Dixie's been kind of pissing Blue off recently, so
I have Blue a feeling. Blue just wants to go hide. He wants to go stay at Dad's house.
He's like, my mom keeps bugging me about my diabetes, and I'm an adult. I know how to manage it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go stay at Dad and Stepmom's house. I'm getting out of here.
I'm gonna go hang out with Ryan.
Yeah, I'm gonna go hang out with my brother. Okay, bye.
Wait, do we think that Ryan and Sam live in the big mansion? I've always been confused about that, because Ryan's married.
Maybe?
That house is like, huge. Like, each family could have their own.
I mean, I know Blythe is like, girl's gonna spend her money how she wants to spend her money.
But it kind of seems like each family member could have their literal own wing of this house. If you guys see,
right, like, that's what I mean. So I headcanon, yeah.
All like, not, and I feel like Blue's only living with Dixie at this point because Dixie needs supervision. But
right,
but
so. Of course, Vice Dad like loves her. He's being nice.
He's like, then, I'm willing. He even tells Don. He's like, I'll do anything for Blythe. I'll pay.
He calls, but then he's like he calls the fire team his goons. Like, he's like, you had your goons.
He's like, I'll forgive you having your goons killing my marsh. Like,
which is fucking crazy because, mind you, his grandson.
But he's like, I have terms. And then Blythe, you could see Blythe gulp in that scene. And I'm like, oh, gosh. She's like, oh, no. And Dawn's like, okay, let's hear him.
Yeah.
And basically, he wants Don to apologize. Like, the only terms are is he wants Don to admit he started it as malice, like, to be, because he was
angry. Yeah, like, it wasn't, like, this wasn't the, at first, the best thing to do. He just did it because he was pissed at him, or, like, wanted to, like, get him back.
And then, the first one was that he wanted to come to dinner more often. And this is why I think Ryan, headcanon that Ryan and Sam live in the Hart Mansion. Is because why would Edward or whatever his name is want to eat dinner with just Blythe and Dawn if he hates?
Yeah, that would kind of be like random. Like, he can. I feel like part of that would be like to talk to his grandson and like.
But yeah, heck, Blue often definitely stays at the Hart Mansion at least once a week
when he can, when Dixie doesn't need supervision.
Or anytime Dixie's like recording,
yeah, or like off in another city or something, he's like,
Dad, can I come stay with you, even though we've only known each other for like a
and
month.
Blythe, like, make him, you know, Blythe, like, I feel like she doesn't cook, but she has cooks.
She can be better than Dixie.
Like, she always makes sure that like there's food that Ryan and Blue like. Like, she's always, she's like, what snacks do you guys want?
But, so, then, so, they agree to the dinner, and then Don, like, he's like, I'm not gonna apologize for saving my team. So, yeah. Like, what was most important, but I will, I guess I could admit that, like, it started out as anger.
As being like, fuck you.
It felt good, like, you know, I can admit that. And then Blythe kind of, like, you know, breathes, and everyone's like, okay, everything's good, everything's jolly.
Yeah.
And then stupid Edward goes, and one more thing. And they both look at each other. He goes, you need to fire that bastard out of your... And yeah. Talking about Blue, and everyone goes, what? And he's like...
That was literally my reaction. Like, and I just did. Did you hear me do my reaction again to that line? Because I just forgot that he said that. But that was crazy, like, the way he phrased it.
Wait, can I play it so we can just hear the tone? Yeah. I'm going to play that scene.
Like, it was crazy, dude.
I'm going to play that scene just so we can get the actual tone. Because it's hard for us to explain how crazy this was.
Like, he just... Ugh, I hate that man.
And I'm glad that Black stood up for Blue, too.
Which, like, I really like that, like, we're not only seeing, like, Ryan and Blue's relationship grow, but we're also kind of seeing Blythe and Blue. Like, I feel like Blythe has a lot of care for him.
Like, immediately, even if she had... Even after, like, the whole fight her and Dawn had, when Dawn was in the hospital, she's like, you know you're more than just the random kid Dawn had. Like, she said something like that.
Like, I think that she always, and she made a key line in the first episode, too, that they tried to give money and they tried to support Blue the best they could. And that was, like, a mutual thing. Like, Blythe was, like, encouraging him to do that. So, like, partially, too, so that, like, he didn't abandon Blue.
Okay, are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
I just need to play this so you guys can understand the craziness.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I just also want to watch this again because the way Dawn, like, stands up, I'm like, okay, Dawn, like.
Period. Dad mode activated.
Edward. Oh, just one last thing.
You have to try that
kid, Blue Bennings. What?
Daddy.
I read the incident report on the distillery. I was shocked to discover that one of the firefighters who destroyed it had never gone to the academy. So I called the chief and he said, that was your son. That is bad enough that you lied to me about this for all these years. But now you're parading this bastard all over town.
And now you are crossing.
What did I tell you when you married him, huh? That he would bring shame on our name.
Excuse me, I have never once been ashamed of being married to this man.
Well, maybe.
Oh.
Period, but Jessica's little accent, too. Excuse me. Oh, wait, I can't even do it.
Wait, this is the best one.
You could probably do it.
The way she kicks her own dad out, she's like, I don't, you just assaulted every member of my family. Get out.
Right, because, I mean, he pretty much did. Like,
is she insulting Dawn's authority in the firehouse? Ryan is also the authority at that firehouse. They decided.
Right.
Dawn and him decided to hire Blue together.
Blue, like, together.
Dawn had to convince Ryan to let him hire.
Literally.
That was the whole storyline of episode one, is Dawn
literally
trying to convince Ryan to let him hire. And I was just like, that man is crazy. I was like,
no, he is.
So then, Blue's like, Dawn's kind of freaking out. Because he's like, I really can't have my four other team members and Ryan get fired just so I can keep Blue. Like, he's kind of like,
yeah,
firefighter mindset. He's like, he's like, I hate to do it, but like in this situation, I'm gonna have to let Blue go.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, that's what he's telling Ryan, because Ryan and him have a conversation about how the peace table went, because Blythe told Ryan about the peace table. Of course, those two are always gossiping. Of course,
I love them.
Headcanon, Ryan and Blythe spend 90% of their time gossiping.
Yeah, they do.
So then, Blue, like, the next scene after him talking to Ryan is Dawn's going out, and poor Blue, sweet little, sweet Blue, sweet wholesome Blue, is outside practicing pumping water from an external source so he can learn how to get better at it and washing the rig at the same time. And I said, Blue, you are too wholesome for this mess. Look at you. Like,
oh, yeah. How can you call this kid a bastard? He never did anything wrong.
He's just there. He's finally found something that makes him feel included. Like, let Blue be. So then Dawn is about to tell him, like, what happened and, like, what he's going to have to do. But then when Blue says something about, like, I just can't figure out why this is so much easier. It keeps running dry. Like, I feel like I keep messing this up. Like, it keeps running dry.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't know why. Do you know why, Dad? Like, he's, like, trying to get help. And Dawn's like, wait, I want to play this scene because the way Blue is, like, Dawn just leaves and Blue is just so confused. Like, what? Cracked me up.
Actually, try to blackmail my father.
I'm trying to find the scene. Oh, here. Oh, this cracked me up.
Paramedics will be there soon.
We should ask permission to do this, huh? What it... Don't tell your brother, but you are the most impressive cadet we've ever had.
Not that impressive. We can't go more than a few seconds without the pump running dry. Water line in the bins is even lower than those hydrants at the distillery.
That's it. I believe that's it.
That's what?
That's the missing piece in all this.
Oh, great. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's okay.
I hope not.
I love how he's like, tell your brother he's in charge. Like,
and the way goes, Blue goes, great. I don't know what you're talking about, but.
Wait, no, the fact that Ryan doesn't, Dawn doesn't even have time to tell Ryan he's in charge. He's like, Blue,
don't tell your brother he's in charge.
Tell Ryan he's in charge. I'll see you in a little bit. And the fact that he goes, do you not want to talk? And he goes, no, yeah. Not. And Blue is like, wait, what?
Do you not want to... This show cracks me up. Like, so then, it's so casually funny.
So then Dawn goes to get coffee, or goes to this, not coffee, but he goes to, like, this bar with Edward. And I don't even know if that's his name, but I'm calling him Edward.
Yeah, you can call him that. I feel like they said his name, but I don't remember what it was.
But it's Edward.
And I don't feel like looking, so I can correct you. We're just going to call him Edward.
I think it is Edward, but...
Well, we'll say it is.
But anyways, so he's, like, blackmailing him because, like, he didn't follow, like, safety precautions.
Yeah.
With the state. Or
his period.
And he's like, blackmail.
Yes, he should. Blackmail the shit out of him.
And he's like, basically, I didn't do anything to your marsh. You did everything. Like, I could have saved it if we had adequate water. And so then, it's literally not even 5 seconds after Dawn walks out of, goes back to shift, Blythe calls him, and she's riding on her horse, and she's like, did you just blackmail my dad? And he's like, Blythe, I was going to tell you. And she's like, why? Why would you do this? You know my dad, when he fights hard. Like, he causes a war.
And then that's when everything crashes.
Like, yeah, right after is when she hangs up, is when it's something with Cad, like, it's nothing to do with Edward, but I've been seeing theories online that it's
actually... Oh, I think it is.
The show is trying to make it
right now. Specifically what was affected, like, I don't remember who was at the computer, but they're like, oh, like, look it, somebody's in our system, and then, like, there's somebody, like, in the police system, too, and then at the call center.
The show is trying to make it seem like it's just something random with the Cad, but I think it's Edward.
I agree with you. I think that is if they just make it something random, I don't think it's as good of a storyline as if they make it.
I think it's Edward, and I think.
I agree.
When they find out, Dawn finds out that it's Edward, Ryan, Dawn, and Blue are going to go rampage Edward.
They're going to go crazy.
And bro. Ryan's going to be the head of this fight. He's not even going to let Dawn
say no.
He's going to be like, Grandpa, like, I was on your side. Like, why?
Yeah, like, I was trying to be. Yeah, I was trying to be, like, unbiased.
But we didn't even say why we're worried. Blythe fell off her horse and got all cut up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I just opened up the Grey's episode so I can remember the order and I...
keep Blythe in your thoughts too. Oh my gosh, there's a character on their deathbed in every single show.
Well, okay, yeah.
Not their deathbed, but like...
Pen isn't on her. And I don't think Blythe is on her deathbed either. She's got hurt. She'll be okay.
But... Why is everyone in...
Grey's...
We got stills! We got stills! They're multiplying!
Oh my god, I didn't know what you were talking about. Oh my god. Okay, sorry, I'm currently looking at Owen kissing Maggie right now, and I need to... Oh, her name isn't Maggie. Sorry. Nora. That's her character in Superwoman. So if I... I mean,
Superwoman. Oh my gosh.
If I call you Nora, that's why.
They're
okay.
Multiplying.
Yeah!
Guys, we got rookie stills! We got rookie stills!
Oh, I'm so hyped. Okay. Can we move on to Grey's?
Huh?
I feel like more stills than just the one you showed me.
No, there's only like two.
Okay. So, I can start on Grey's. So, we open up, unfortunately, on Owen in the fucking trailer. And because, of course, they can't be nice and just give us Teddy Cass content, they had to try to reheat Teddy Cass's nachos and try to get us to, like, Nora and Owen. And so they opened up...
Don't piss me off.
Like they did with, Cass and Teddy a few episodes ago. I don't even know what they talk about in the scene, and I don't care. They just... But then, because he's a fucking loser, of course, his fucking kids, Leo and Allison, Teddy's, like, dropping them off.
And they, like, run up the stairs.
Because they're excited to see their fucking dad. And so they walk into the trailer, and Nora is still fucking naked in fucking his bed. I'm sorry, Ellie's showing me her bread. I'm sorry. Because Owen, like, tries to stop them, but his way of stopping them is going, whoa, 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 whoa. Which, I'm sorry, if you've ever worked with kids, that's not the way to fucking stop them from going into a room where
something... If it's urgent, you gotta go, stop!
Which, okay, I actually feel so fucking bad for these kids because, first of all, he has not talked to Teddy about being with Nora consistently. I don't think. Number two, imagine your parents are going through a divorce, so you're already fucking done. Specifically Allison, because that's biologically their kid. I know Leo isn't, but Leo's, whatever. Leo has like several mother figures, so he's good. But, but And then Nora, like, covers up awkwardly, and I'm like, this is so traumatizing. Like, and of course,
headcanon, it's that
Hetty is so pissed, and she goes, say goodbye, and drags them the fuck out of there. And Nora feels bad, which, yeah, you should feel fucking bad, Nora.
Headcanon is that, Betty is still in Leo's life.
Yes, I think, obviously Amelia is too, but I think Betty is also, and so, shout out Betty and Amelia for being Leo's, well, not that Teddy's a good mom too, but anyways. Yeah,
Teddy is Leo's, yeah. Like, real mom right now.
Well, but yeah, like, he obviously lives with Teddy and Owen, but, like, Amelia and Betty, I think, are also, like, important mother figures in his life. Anyways, the next scene, they're checking up. Joe and Link are in the OB wing, and they're checking up on the babies. And, Joe is like, I still got 7 weeks. And the doctor's like, you ain't making it those 7 weeks.
No, she says you have a good chance.
Does she say we are? I thought she was like, you don't. No, I just thought she said it was possible.
Yeah. She said it was possible.
Okay, I guess that kind of yeah, I guess. I took that as, like, there was a chance, but, like, but then she said there's a high chance they could be diagnosed with, what is it, like, sepsis at birth? Like, pretty much Joe describes it as, like, a choose-your-own hellscape, where, like, it can just be any sort of issue.
Yeah.
Joe
was making all those scenarios up, not the doctor.
Yeah, she's the one that's kind of panicked, which, I mean, fair enough. She also works in OB, so, like, she knows all this shit. And so, like, I get being also panicked specifically about your own children. Like, I get it. But then the doctor's like, hey, are you having shortness of breath? And Joe's like, can you page cardiology? And both of them, like, start freaking out because they're like, okay, what the fuck is going on? And then we just kind of move on to Bailey. And she's...
Richard's pissing Bailey off.
Yeah. And, like, a lecture was canceled, so, like, Richard canceled a lecture, so she's just pissed, and she's, like, cleaning everything up, and she's ranting to Ben about it, and saying that, like, he's been making changes to the program without, like, telling her.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of the confirmation that she's kind of in charge of.
She said she's the residency director.
Oh, yeah, she did say that in this scene. But that's, like, good for confirmation. And so then, the newly indicted residents are talking about how Richard sent out this email saying that they need to, like, increase their workload by 10%. And, like, Simone and Lucas are having some weird tension because they always are. And they're, like, the rest, like, Quan and Joe are, like...
You're gonna get me started on that.
They're, like, just kind of talking to her about it. And then Owen is getting coffee. And this is when the bus crash happens. It, like, crashes into a car. Um,
Yeah.
And there's this woman under it, which low-key, this was giving me, like, flashbacks to, like, this is giving me, like, flashbacks to George. Like, I feel like, and then also, like, I actually kind of like when Grace does a bus storyline. Like, it's low-key kind of, like, it always feels, like, very dramatic and very, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, sorry, I'm just scrolling through this, and I remembered that in one of the scenes, Simone and Jules are walking up to, like, the front desk, and the lady, like, one of the secretaries, she sets the lost and found box on the top of the thing, and just goes, look through it, make sure none of it's yours, it's being donated by the end of the day. I don't know why that sent me. Like, she just, like, looked through it. And Helm walks up and is talking to them. She's in France, which is pretty cool. Which, okay, is this the first? I feel like this is one of, I feel like
it's the first time that we've seen Helm this season.
Yes, and also Loki seeing her interact with Jules is so weird. Like, post Mika not being here. Like it's so, like, I don't know. Like, it feels like
before, but, like, this is the first time since Mika's left.
Yeah, like, it just felt kind of weird. And they are kind of, like, awkward, Loki. Like, she's kind of, like, short with her almost. She's just kind of, like, gives a quick one down and then leaves. And yeah. Then the guy that Simone hooks up with, like, is also there. Like, he just walked by or whatever. And Jules is kind of talking to her about that. And just being like, don't hook up with him pretty much. Like, she's like, stay strong. Like, do your job, bruh. So then, pretty much, Owen is still trying to get... There's a girl trapped on their bus. Her name is Maisie. And Owen's just trying to, like, get her out. Then people from, like, the bus start coming through, like, from the, so the first one is, there's this guy who's an aide to a nonverbal autistic person, and the autistic person's okay. Like, this autistic boy, he's okay, but he, like, runs away because he's, like, scared, which, like, fair enough. Like, it is, like, really crazy. So then Teddy shows up at the scene, and she's trying to also help Owen with Maisie, and just, like, everybody kind of at the scene. So then she tries to get, like, she's, like, getting under the bus to do the best she can to, like, amputate her leg. And then yeah. Owen's, oh my god, and then Lucas's, we go back to the hospital, and Lucas's intern comes up to him, and he asks how much caffeine she's had. And she says none. Or, like, what does she say? She's like, it was really funny. She's just, like, being kind of awkward. How caffeinated are you? He goes, how caffeinated are you? And she goes, I don't drink coffee. And then the new plastics resident comes, and like, Lucas wants to work on a case with her, but she's like, no. And then Quan comes up and asks her about working on the case. And she's like, I just told him no. But then, she's talking to him about, like, this other case with this old guy. Whatever. And then we go back to Joe, and she's, like, surrounded by people now. Winston's in there. Winston goes, "Hi, I'm like Dr. Ngo." Like, how do you say his last name? Oh, I always forget. It's like
Ndugu.
Ndugu. He's like, "I'm Dr. Ndugu, like head of cardiology." And she goes, "Hi, I'm." No, he goes, "Chief of cardiology." And she goes, "Hi, I'm chief of this room."
And Joe kind of smirks too.
And Ben's also in there. And he's just trying to give support to both. Like, he's good for emotional support.
And Ben,
he's
just trying. The amount of love I have for Benjamin Warren, this man.
He's just so pure. Like, I love him. Like, he's just so.
I'm on complete Joe duty. He has my full.
Like, he's so sweet. He's just trying to be like, whatever. And so some of the new interns are all working on one of the people, like the autistic boy's aide.
And then Simone and her
whatever. Like, I think it's Jules and her intern and Bailey are working on it. Richard is being pissed because Bailey's trying to like they're kind of fighting over like who's taking the reins or whatever. And then Simone and her person she hooked up with are trying to talk to like the autistic boy. Because he's also like he has like mild head trauma. So they had to like go out to get him to like be able to take care of him, but he's just like having a hard time. He's freaking out and Simone can't get too close to him and she's trying to give him space, but also like, you know, she's worried about him.
Because he really can't wait with head injuries.
And so then Quan goes into the room. He's talking to he kind of like skipped the scene. He's literally just talking to the guy that the plastics fellow told him to go like check out or whatever. Then the girl like under the bus is having like a whole heart to heart with Teddy.
As she should.
And Teddy's like being like she said something about like a guy not answering her calls and how she wishes he would answer her calls, and she's like, "Teddy, do I call him?" Teddy's like, "No." And she's like, "I'm tired about fighting about everything." And Teddy's like, "I know the feeling." And so then we go back to Simone and her and the hookup still trying to help. The hookup gives him back his like backpack and compliments him. And then he's like asking about his aide. And you know, he's just trying to like calm him down pretty much and just be like, you know, "Have you had bad experiences?" He's okay. Like, first of all, he tells him that his aide's okay, that he's in the ER and people are working on him. And then he's asking about, like, bad experience at the hospital. And so then he's kind of telling him about, like, his bad hospital experience, like, with his brother. And how he, like, understands that it's really hard. And then they're playing basketball together, which is kind of sweet. I actually, like, don't completely hate this guy. I think he's, like, a good person.
I feel like if he wasn't affiliated with Simone, I would love him.
Yes, because he's like really sweet and he does a really good job of talking to, like, the way he's talking to him is like the exact way I've been told to, like when I've like had to learn about it in like my classes and stuff, like I've been told to speak to a non-verbal autistic person. So he's doing like a really good job of like trying to get him to like remain calm and like trying to find stuff that they can like connect on. So it makes him, because a lot of it with people like who have severe neurological, like not neurological, but like are severely neurodivergent, a lot of it is like how to connect with them and communicate so you can make them trust you. And so that it makes both of your guys's like situations easier and they feel comfortable going to need to going to do whatever they need to do. Quan is still talking to the whatever. I don't know why we, like, the storyline with just the old guy, I was like, whatever. Yeah. Like, the aide is not doing well. But then they get him back, like he crashes, but then they get him back up. And then Joe and Link are arguing about going to get socks. And Ben tells them not to go, like, to stop arguing. He's like, you need to, like, go take care of your pregnant wife. So he listens to Ben, and he goes and gets fuzzy socks.
Why was Link even arguing with Joe about this?
Which, like, yeah. Like, are you fucking... Anyways, so Ben is, like, Ben and her are talking, and Joe is saying that, like, she knows where, like, the good socks are in the hospital because her patients really like them, so she'll go, like, get them if they ask, which is really sweet. And Ben's, like, asking her to just be honest. And, like that he's, like, there to support her, and, like, if she needs to talk about anything, like, he's there. And Joe is, like, I'm putting on a show for Link. And Ben is just, like, trying to reassure her. But then they get the girl that was under the bus back to the hospital. Teddy does. Which, by the way, Teddy looks so pretty. Like, she's eating it up in this outfit. And pretty much Owen, also, okay, Owen is a fucking dick because he chooses this time to talk about what the kids saw this morning. Like, he's like, oh, can we talk about it? Because he's like, oh, we should both go in there after her. And Teddy, like, rightfully is like, she doesn't need two trauma surgeons. I have other, like, patients to check up on. And, like, he's like, oh, can we just talk about this morning? Which, like, bro, you really could not have chosen a different time.
Like, shut up.
And then Teddy pretty much says that. Like, she's like, just go do your job. Like, like, she's like, leave this alone. And we have some more stuff on, like, the old man.
Can we talk about Jules's new hair?
Oh my god, it's so cute.
I love the dark on her.
Also, okay, I saw a TikTok. Here, I'll get to it when we get to that point in the episode. Anyways. But, Simone's hookup, he gets the guy into the hospital. Simone's like, oh, period. And he gets him to sit down in the ER and, like, check him out. And they're just now kind of both, they're just both trying to get him to, like, calm down. And they need him to take off his headphones, so they give him, like, a silly visor.
It wasn't the headphones. He just wouldn't look down.
Like he wouldn't, like, yeah. So they have him put on the visor to, like, calm him down or whatever. Winston's checking up on Jules. I mean, not Jules. Joe. It looks like, from my I feel like, how much detail do we really need on the, I feel like I'm going into, like, so much detail. They just, like, talk to Link about the situation and say that, like, he needs to be calm, he needs to be a supportive partner, anxiety could increase problems for her. Miranda's just acting pissy towards Richard this entire episode. Like, she's just done with him. She's not... She's just... Um, So Lucas and his intern are trying to make this guy, like, more comfortable or whatever. I don't. And again, they're just, they keep trying to help the autistic guy. It's nice to see the way he's like, I don't know. I think he's a good person. So then they get the girl into surgery, the girl that was under the bus. Helm is doing her, Helm does some orthopedic stuff. But anyways, then Sam shows up, the guy that Macy was talking about. And Teddy, like, goes to talk to him or whatever. Joe is doing way worse. He's not doing good at all. So they have to take her in.
Really worried about.
No, I'm worried about her too. We also got that stupid Jules and Winston interaction, and she's totally into him. And they're trying to push it. Because she, like, at the end, she, like, scratches awkwardly at, like, her neck and is, like, looking up. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God.
Like, people keep shipping them and, like, making edits of that scene. And we're like, he didn't brush her off even though he was trust. Guys, it's because Winston's a good guy. He's very sweet. I love Winston.
Yes, he's such a good person. Like, he's a halfway decent person. Oh my God. Okay, so then he gets a call. Teddy's on the phone with Allison, their daughter, and she gives it to Owen. The first thing their daughter asks about is Meg. Is Nora. He goes, no, no more naked ladies. Again, feel so bad for these fucking kids.
And you can see Teddy roll her eyes and laugh.
Like, she's like, oh my fucking God. Like, you're really exposing the children to this shit. Because for all of Teddy would never let her fucking kids see her with Cass. Like, she would never even potentially fucking risk it.
Like, the kids know who Cass is, but they don't know.
Yeah, and she would not risk it to, like.
And I'm sure, like, if Cass knew who the kids were with Owen, like, I'm sure Cass had young kids too. I'm sure they've, like, hung out, like,
yeah, exactly.
Supposedly friends before this whole, like, drama blew up. So I feel like the kids probably know each other.
Yeah. It's just what really pissed me off is not that he's with somebody else, and I think this was Teddy's problem too. It's the fact that the kids were, and Teddy tries to be like, it was hard seeing you with someone else, but it's dumb. Like, they have this whole conversation. I'm done with them. Like, just make them good parents and move on. Like, I'm done pushing this out. Owen
has the audacity to talk about trying them again. And I said, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. So there, Joe is not doing too hot.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Teddy just ignored him when she said that. He said that.
Yeah, because Teddy, I think, is actually very comfortable with Cass and knows that it's time, and knows that he's not, Owen isn't it. So even if something happens with Cass, Owen isn't it, you know? So then Simone and her gup talk, whatever. Then Quan and the new plastics fellow talk, and they make out in the elevator. It's like, okay, random. Then Maggie. Again, if I accidentally call her Maggie, I'm sorry.
Nora.
I keep calling her Supergirl character. Her character in Supergirl kind of cupped ass. sucked ass. And then Nora essentially
breaks it off with Owen.
Yeah, and she says she has, like, a lot of respect for Teddy and feels awful, and that Teddy's, like, a good person, and, like, really cares about people, and that she's not gonna get entangled in, like, Owen's weird, like, mess, pretty much. And then it's revealed that Richard has cancer.
And that's why he's been acting so weird. Oh my gosh. Which, like, I'm sorry.
It makes sense.
Like, I'm sorry you have cancer, bro, but that's not an excuse for treating Bailey like shit.
Yeah, it's not. And also, like, just retire, bro.
I still can't believe this man took back over Chief. Like,
Right, like, just retire. Anyways, then the last scene of the episode is them, like, about to start surgery on Joe. So that was the episode. I'm really worried about Joe, like you said. I'm worried about her. I don't think they'd kill her off. But, like, I'm still scared, you know?
Yeah, I'm scared too.
But yeah, those were the episodes for the week. Is there anything else we want to talk about? I'm, like, trying to think. What I need from Grey's second half of the season is for them to just be done with be done with this Teddy Owen shit and just let Teddy move on. That's all I ask. And also for Joe to be safe. Those are the two things I ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
Yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah, those are the episodes for the week.
Besides Joe not being okay, it was kind of a boring episode.
Yeah. I felt like it just kind of hit on a lot of storylines I don't really like. I don't know, you know?
I just can't wait for... Guys, I'm really worried that... Guys, I don't know if... I don't think... Do we think they would actually kill off Camilla? Like, do we actually...
No. They wouldn't.
I'm worried that... I hate to say this, but this is my prediction of what's going to happen. They're going to say... Like, we hear the babies crying at the end of the promo for when they get back. So the babies are going to be born, and I think... One of them is, I hate to say it, but this is my prediction. I think one of them is gonna pass away, and then when Joe's still, while Joe's on the surgery, but like, I'm guessing.
I could definitely see that. I could definitely see one of them not surviving.
I can see. Joe, because we see that she has to have CPR done, so I can see Joe being out for, like, several days.
Yeah, I could see that, too.
So I'm thinking one of them is not gonna make it, which I hate to say, but that's what.
No,
I'm...
it would be really sad, but I think you're right. I think they wouldn't kill off Joe
on the podcast. On the podcast, she said this storyline has been very difficult for Joe to like for her to film, and I feel like she would get in trouble if she said anything that might give away that Joe dies, but. If it's not related, I think she would be willing to share that. That's why I'm like, I don't know. But I don't
Yeah.
think, I might just be delusional, but I don't think they would kill off Camilla. Yeah, I'm just... I'm trying to remain positive that they wouldn't kill off.
Yeah, I don't think they'd kill off her, but I can see her killing off one of the babies. Is that wouldn't be surprising?
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's the episode. Keep all of the characters in your thoughts. Manifest.
Yeah. All the characters that are hurt, keep Blythe in your thoughts. Keep Joe in your thoughts.
Keep Hen in your thoughts.
Honestly, keep Teddy in your thoughts, too. Make sure she doesn't go back to Owen.
Oh, my gosh. I swear to God, if she ends up going back to
Yes, Owen. If that's what this ends with, if this whole stupid fucking storyline ends with
them like renewing their vows or something, I'm gonna be like, are you fucking kidding me? I hate
yeah, this. Yeah, no, I'm gonna be so pissed.
Let Teddy Altman be with a woman. That's
literally.
But yeah, keep Hen in your thoughts, keep Blythe in your thoughts, keep protect Joe. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Love you guys.